Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, I mentioned I was going to talk about the exorcism, but this is, we're going to have the Corpus Christi procession, so I'd like to talk about Corpus Christi. Yesterday I talked about that other topic. But a lot of this is I'm going to quote from a book by Father Weiser. It's called The Holy Day Book. It was written in 1956, so it was pre-Vatican II. And it talks about the processions throughout the world on Corpus Christi. On Holy Thursday, the day on which the Church commemorates the institution of the Holy Eucharist, it's impossible to honor our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament with appropriate solemn and joyful rites. Such a festival is precluded by the sorrowful memories of the day, the betrayal of Judas, the arrest of Christ and his agony in the garden, Peter's denial, and by the fact that there are prescribed ceremonies for Holy Thursday. A humble nun in Belgium, Sister Juliana, in 1258, was a prioress of, and she first suggested and advocated a special feast in honor of the Blessed Sacrament to be celebrated on a day other than Holy Thursday. From her 16th year, she had often in her prayers beheld a strange sight. It was if the full moon appeared to her in brilliant light, while part of its disk remained dark and lightless. Finally, in a vision, Christ showed her the meaning of this picture. The moon represented the ecclesiastical or church year. The black spot indicated the lack of a festival in honor of the Blessed Sacrament. She was to announce to the authorities of the church that God wished such a feast to be established. In 1230, St. Juliana communicated her secret to a small group of learned theologians. As her message became publicly known, she had to suffer scorn and ridicule for some years. But the bishop of her diocese, Liege, and some of his canons eventually responded to her appeals. A diocesan synod in 1246 decided in her favor and prescribed such a feast for the churches of Liege. One of the men who had supported her efforts in Belgium later became pope. He was Jacques Pantaléon, Archdeacon of Liege. Upon his election to the papal office, he assumed the name of Urban IV. On September 8th, 1264, 6 years after St. Juliana's death, he established for the whole church that festival in honor of the Holy Eucharist, which a saintly nun had proclaimed to be willed by God. It was to be celebrated with great solemnity on the Thursday after Pentecost week, and indulgences were granted to all who would receive Holy Communion or attend special devotions in addition to hearing Mass. Urban IV commissioned the great Dominican scholar, St. Thomas Aquinas, to compose the text of the Mass and the Divine Office for the new feast. The splendor, depth, and devotion of the prayers and hymns which St. Thomas wrote have enriched the liturgy with one of its most beautiful rituals. The bull of Urban IV had no immediate effect because he died soon after its publication, and the succeeding popes did not urge the matter. Finally, however, Pope Clement V in 1314 renewed the decree in a bull of his own, and then the feast spread quickly throughout the Latin Church. Very early in the 14th century, the custom developed of carrying the Blessed Sacrament in splendid procession through the town after Mass on Corpus Christi Day. This is encouraged by the Pope, some of whom had granted special indulgence to all participants. The Council of Trent solemnly approved and recommended the procession of Corpus Christi as a public profession of the Catholic faith and the real presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. During the later Middle Ages, these processions developed into splendid pageants of devotion and honor to the Blessed Sacrament. And then, this was in 1956, so this is what they said. They're still publicly held and often, again, this was before Vatican II, with the ancient splendor in Italy, France, Spain, Portugal, Austria, Belgium, Ireland, the Catholic sections of Germany, Holland, Switzerland, Canada, Hungary, and then the Slavic countries, and South America. Sovereigns and princes, presidents and ministers of state, magistrates, members of trade and craft guilds, honor guards of the armed forces, accompany the liturgical procession while the church bells peal, choirs sing sacred hymns, and the faithful kneel in front of their homes to adore the Eucharistic Lord. The houses along the route of the procession are decorated with little birch trees and green boughs. Candles and pictures adorn the windows, and in many places, especially in Latin countries, the streets are covered with carpets of grass and flowers, often wrought in beautiful designs. A special ritual in the procession is the adaptation of the ancient Roman uses of stations. Stops are made at various points along the route. The Blessed Sacrament is put on the altar. Hymns are sung and prayers are recited for God's blessing upon the town, the people, and the harvest. A Eucharistic benediction concludes each station. And again, we're so small, we're not able to do that, but in most other places, that's how it's done. This ritual, approved by Pope Martin V, is still observed, again, this was 1956, everywhere in the Catholic sections of Central Europe, in some Latin countries. However, and this isn't in the text, but they're still continued in many traditional Catholic churches, the beautiful procession and then the stations. The solemnity of Corpus Christi is enhanced by the additional use of Alleluia in the prayers of the liturgy, as at Easter time. St. Thomas Aquinas has magnificently expressed the beautiful character of the day in his famous hymns, especially one of them is Panis Angelicus. This is taken from the Divine Office in Matins for Corpus Christi. The best musical settings are those of César Franck, 1890, and the Jesuit, French Jesuit, Louis Lambiot. And this is the translation, because we'll be singing Panis Angelicus. Lo, the bread of angels is made the food of earthly pilgrims. Truly, it is the bread of children. Let it not be cast to dogs. It was prefigured in types when Isaac was immolated, when the Paschal lamb was sacrificed, when manna was given to the fathers. Another hymn by St. Thomas, Pange Lingua, O sing, praise, O my tongue, the glorious mystery of the glorious body, is sung on Holy Thursday and Corpus Christi during the procession with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. The last two stanzas, Tantum Ergo and Genitori, are always sung at benediction. And let us therefore prostrate, adore so great a sacrament. Let the old law give way to the new ordinance. Let faith supplant the weakness of the senses. To the Father and to the Son be praise, glory, salvation, honor, power, and benediction also. And to him proceeding from them both be equal praise. And then another hymn that St. Thomas Aquinas wrote is O Solitaris. That's how we begin exposition. O saving victim, thou openest the gate of heaven. Jesus did so by dying on the cross. Hostile attacks oppress us. Give us strength. Bring us aid. Eternal glory be to the triune God who giveth us life without end in our native land. And then in the New World, the author says, again, that's the United States, North and South America. The Feast of Corpus Christi was celebrated during the 16th and 17th centuries with the usual solemn observance by the missionaries and their native converts in Florida, California, Texas, New Mexico, and in the missions of New France, in other words, Canada and the Great Lakes region. In honor of the festival, the Franciscans named a bay of the Gulf of America Corpus Christi Bay. Later, a town founded on the shore of that bay was given the same title, Corpus Christi, Texas. In a similar way, the capital of California was named Sacramento, after the river on which it is situated, which has had been named by the missionaries in honor of the Holy Eucharist. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.